Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Oh, hi. I'd like to apply for a loan so I can consolidate some of my debts.
Sure. Do you own your home?
Yes. But Carl, our resident ghost, keeps saying it's his house and we should get out.
Okay. But you are the registered owner.
Yes.
Then you're approved.
Hey, hear that, Carl? Huh?
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Go to alpinecredits.ca to get started. Some conditions apply.
FSRA license 12616.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Our top three surprises for the Leafs season so far. We'll get to that in about a half an hour. Go around the table. We all have a three-pack. Positive, negative. There's been a lot of positive. That's another win last night. Another win in overtime against a good team. New York's a good team.
Yeah.
You got Ottawa in town tomorrow. Then you got Washington, a rare Sunday afternoon game at Scotiabank.
It is weird to go through the schedule and not see the Leafs play on a Saturday night.
Yeah, especially with the NFL going Sunday.
Yeah.
It's why would you...
Sunday at 5, is it?
I think it's a 5 or 6 o'clock game, yeah.
It is a weird one, especially with the NFL. Like, that one is...
Not a holiday that I'm aware of. I'm not sure why that...
And what is it happening?
I've got a chore coming up next week. I'm going to the Bruins game.
Mm-hmm.
Alumni coach?
But with a Bruins fan.
Ooh.
Is that right? So how does that operate? Is that someone that's asked you, could you get me in the building, and you decided to hook them up? Or
no, it's a friend, and I am attending the game with him as friends, and I hope it doesn't.
Well, I know it's gonna
happen. It's a weird vibe. It's like, is this guy going to stand up and cheer in my face?
Is he a Jersey guy? He can't show up in a Bruins jersey.
Dude, I told him, don't even think about it, please.
Well, no, you're going to walk into the alumni box. He can't walk into the alumni box.
Not allowed. I don't know. I just hope it's cool, copacetic. I don't know. Bruins fans are God.
Oh, they're bold right now, man. They are obnoxious.
Insufferable.
I can't blame them. I mean, they're on pace to have the greatest season in NHL history.
Yeah.
So, understandably, they're a little bit cocky right now. But, yeah, I can't imagine that's ever happened before. Someone walking into an alumni suite wearing
the
jersey of an opponent.
You know what the Bruins are doing to people, Hayes? I got a buddy of mine who's from Detroit, Michigan, most competitive guy you'd ever meet. And he's like, Freddie Anderson's hurt again. And then he's like, Pacioretty. And then he's like, threw up his arms and he was like, Bruins are going to beat everybody anyway, so who cares about this year?
It does seem like that's really starting to go.
I said, dude, remember the Tampa Bay Lightning? They had 120-something points, and they got dummied in the first round. You never know. What are you going to pack it in? He's like, nobody's beating the Bruins, man.
Well, what about Colorado? They've won 6 in a row, and they're starting to get healthy. Like, they're just for fun. They're starting to get healthy.
Getting Manson back.
I'm not sleeping on anybody. Because maybe I'm missing something. In recent history, what team has dominated from pillar to post and won the cup? Dominated.
To this extent?
I don't know.
We're talking probably the Montreal Canadiens in the late 70s.
Yeah, 79.
We're talking 45 years ago.
Right.
Hang on a sec. The Red Wings won some cups where they had to have been pretty damn good in the regular season. I know they lost a bunch when they were the President's Cup trophy. But their cups that they have, I'm pretty sure that they were near the top.
You're right, in 02 in particular. But that was Colorado was still a rock star team at that point. Jersey was in that window.
Well, and to your point, those teams that you're saying was Detroit 20 points ahead of them.
I mean, we can look it up, but I don't think so.
I don't think so.
In 02, it was not a surprise at all that Detroit won. I mean, you were on the wrong side of that in a cup final.
Yeah.
But everyone knew. Looking at that team, who's beating that team?
Yeah.
Who's beating that team? I can't recall the last time we had a situation like that. And that might be cap related, right? That may just be a cap scenario where, you're it's not possible to build that dominant of a team.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
If Colorado gets healthy, and they can maybe add and kind of fill that Kadri void. But the X factor is Georgiev. But I would take them over Boston. I think they're that good. If they get cooking.
Now, that's a cup final you're talking about. Yeah. Like, it's on different sides of the bracket.
But here's what I'm saying, too.
What I'm saying, Hayes, is I would $20 I would put on Colorado over Boston if, like,
I wouldn't do it today, but I would like to see, because it wouldn't surprise me if Colorado's in on Horvat. Because if Horvat's your number two centerman and you slide Newhook down, like now you're back.
They got a lot of health issues.
But that's
there.
The thing. Yeah, exactly. Like Landeskog hasn't played yet.
Nichushkin, I think, got hurt again.
But that's the thing. Like I think they're going to be ready for it.
They'll be ready for the playoffs.
Yeah. Listen, they're a rock star team, and if they're healthy and rocking, then I don't think anyone is going to look past them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, for sure, for me, right now, to go, well, it's Boston's, don't even try. I'm not there yet.
How can you be, even in their own division, are they going to be favored? Of course. You're telling me, and I know the Leafs have not won in 18 years. I get it. You're telling me it's not the equivalent of the 13 series.
Right.
Where you're like, Boston's way better. Even that, the Leafs were up 4-1 in Game 7 with 11 minutes left. You're telling me Tampa, if they're healthy, can't beat Boston in a best of 7?
Absolutely. Vasilevsky can beat anyone, of course.
That's why I'm saying, like, I'm not there on any level yet. But it just, the Bruins, they do deserve their cookies right now. They deserve the love.
They're beating everybody,
and they're playing really well-structured hockey. And I don't see a weakness on that roster. Like, it's deep. Their D are good. Their goaltending is fantastic. The structure, your buddy Jimmy Montgomery, Jimmy Muntz is like...
He's got the Jack Adams. It's wrapped up.
But, like, there is going to be some adversity at some point for them. We'll see how they handle it.
Well, the goalie, like, his stats...
Omark is a rock star. Right?
Absolutely absurd. He's running away with everything, and he doesn't lose.
Yeah.
But do we know what he looks like in a pressure-packed Game 7?
No.
In the third period? I don't have that answer.
No.
So,
I don't think the sample size there for him yet. Yeah, they're just not. Like,
no.
Omark played in Buffalo. Like,
exactly.
Wasn't going deep in the playoffs at that point.
Sabres are starting to sniff around, though, man. They've won 4 in a row. They're a good team, though. They're starting to sniff around, absolutely.
Dude, they got some studs.
They do.
Some flat-out studs.
Tage Thompson. Well, Rasmus Dahlin's made it. Yeah. Like, he's arrived.
Yeah. Dude, Dahlin's, you were carving him last year when they signed him to that long-term deal. You said, this is not warranted.
What are you talking about?
Dude, because I was carving him, and you were agreeing. That's why I said it.
Not him. I was carving the guy I'd never heard of before.
Samuelson, and that was earlier this year. And that
not
guy,
Dahlin.
No. We were carving Dahlin, too. We're like, why did they sign this guy?
No. Don't loop me into your idiocy. I never mentioned a thing about Dahlin.
I've always been on Buffalo's side, but I've been disappointed.
You know what? We'll get Kevin Adams on, and Hayes, you owe him an apology first.
Reach out to Kevin Adams.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Keith Jones of TNT joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Do you hate Rasmus Dahlin, Keith, or are you a fan of his?
No, I like him. I like him this year, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see why people were wondering about him. I mean, this has been an amazing breakthrough for him. So I think Donny Granato deserves a lot of credit for the patience that he's shown with some of those young players in Buffalo. And now they're reaping some of the benefits of that. They're not there yet, but they're on their way, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've been watching them for the last couple of years. That Olofsson is a sneaky good player. You know, Skinner's had a bit of a resurgence, but what's impressive for me, and I don't know how you feel about it, Keith, but they've kind of got a two-headed monster there with that Thompson and Tuck, because that Tuck is a player.
He's had a great year,
and
too.
He's got some size and some bite to him. Like, I don't know how you feel, but those are the guys, are the pieces that you kind of look forward to build around up front.
Yeah, and I always liked Tuck, even like his time in Vegas. I thought he was a really important player for them. He was slotted differently in the lineup and almost seemed like he was waiting for his turn to, you know, step up and be a top-line player. He's certainly done that and a lot more, using his size and strength to protect the puck and his creativity to make plays pretty much every time he's on the ice. When that line is on, you know, they could be sitting on easily a four-point game each. There's no question they've had a few of those this season. And Tage Thompson's just a great story of, you know, perseverance and patience again. Like, he kind of grew into the body. He's a gigantic guy. And now all those skills are really starting to come to the forefront. An extremely confident player. He can shoot the puck. He's got, you know, a great set of hands, and he can stick handle through traffic and is unafraid of out there to try to make plays. So they have to be feeling pretty good about themselves and also the situation that they're in. And I think it really shows in the confidence that they play with. So I think there's, for the first time in a long time, a lot of positives going on with the Buffalo Sabres. Is it enough to make the playoffs? I don't know, but I do know that they're going to, you know, worry some teams like Washington and Pittsburgh that are no guarantees to get in the playoffs just yet.
Jonesy, can you spread any positive light upon us here in Toronto? Have you had any hockey conversations or any thoughts yourself more positive about the Leafs this year than in past years? Or where are you at with that?
I like them. I liked them last year, too. I was surprised they didn't break through last year. I really thought they had the lightning on the ropes. And, you know, if you look back on the series, they did to a certain extent and then just couldn't close the door. I think they're a very good hockey team that's got extremely talented players that are ready to take the next step, kind of like Tampa was before they, you know, broke through after that disappointing loss to Columbus, that four-game sweep that you wondered, would the coach survive, you know, John Cooper back in those days, because he had that multiple opportunities to, you know, take the next step, and all of a sudden the following season he does, and now he's the coach that every team wishes they had. Could that happen to Sheldon Keith? I mean, I'm not 100% sure. It's a very important year for him. If the team does break through, he may be talked about in those same type of conversations. So it's the year for the Leafs to do it, and I don't think they're entirely put together just yet to do that. I think what Tampa did well was add some really important players at the deadline prior to winning their first Stanley Cup, and, you know, guys like Barkley Gaudreau and Blake Coleman that were added to the mix were players that really helped them get through that first round the following season. So is there a couple of those guys floating around? Are the Leafs in a position to try to add that? If I was Toronto, that's what I'd be looking to do.
Yeah, that's been a big part of the daily conversation up here is, you know, do you go big game hunting and try to get in on one of the bigger names that we know are going to be available, likely Horvat, Patrick Kane, Ryan O'Reilly if he's healthy, or do you use those assets that you'd have to pay for one piece to try to pick up guys like you just mentioned, Gaudreau and Coleman, really good players, but on Tampa, they were depth pieces. Like they came in and filled out a third line role, and you're leaning towards that being the better option for Toronto?
100%. I can say that with great confidence. They don't need any of the previous players that you named, the star players. That's not what the Toronto Maple Leafs need. The impressive part to me, guys, is their defense. It's really come along.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Lilligren's turned into a player. Sandin looks like a confident player. I've done a couple of games in the last couple of weeks down at ice level, and I came away from both games thinking this is a really sound defensive team because their blue lines, not necessarily names that jump off the page to you, but players that are very effective in their roles. And I think that's probably, in my eyes, the biggest difference. Their younger defensemen look like they're now stepping into bigger roles and capable of handling that. And that's why it makes me, you know, look at that team and say, find a little bit of grit in your third and fourth line, guys that have done it before or come close to and have playoff experience, and guys that have proven that when the going gets tough, they're there to support their teammates and also can provide a big goal that when their top guys may be struggling to get on the board early in a playoff series, they can provide them some insulation and give the team a bit of a boost without all of it having to rest on the stars.
Yeah, with Keith Jones, I agree with your assessment of the defense. I mean, Timothy Liljegren's been given the opportunity of a lifetime, really, recently, with injuries where he's playing top pairing minutes and he's putting up really quality performances. But he's not a big guy. He's not a bruising guy. TJ Brody's not a monster out there. Like, it kind of feels like the way that they're built on the back end is kind of like the way the Penguins were built in those 15-16 runs. Like, they're not chock full of 6'4", 6'5", 230 type defensemen. They're just more quality skating, quality puck moving, sound defensive units. I mean, do you think that is more difficult to win with in the playoffs? Like without size, without yeah, monsters, does that make it more difficult?
It can. I mean, there is something to be said for that. Like, if I think back to those Penguins teams, I do think of Brian Dumoulin and the role that he played. Not mm-hmm. that he's a real physical defenseman, but he's a standout defensive defenseman that can play on a top pairing because of the support that he can give to a number one D-man like Letang. And I also think of Ian Cole, who I thought played really well back then and did play that physical brand of hockey. So I do think there's moments you need that, but I don't think the compete level is a problem for any of the guys on the back end of the Maple Leafs that I've been watching recently. So it is a little different than playoff hockey right now, hockey in, you know, late January compared to what it's going to be like in a couple of months from now. But I'm not thinking that that's an area the Maple Leafs have to concern themselves with. It's more important to me that they get not fourth line guys, but third line guys that can get out there and step up and even bump up to play with some of the guys on the top lines when necessary to provide a boost.
Did you think that Rick Tocchet knew what he was walking into when he was behind the bench last night in Seattle?
Yeah, I do think he's, you know, been watching that team from afar, and you know they've got some big holes there. I mean, it's going to be a lot of work, but.
But Jonesy, one thing you got to correct, you got to explain something to me, Jonesy. People talk yeah. about how bad that D-core is in Vancouver, and the way they play is real bad. But we talked about Toronto's defense being improved this year. They won a bunch of hockey games, at like a 20-game segment. There was Mac Hollowell and Victor Mete out there playing big-time minutes. So what the hell are those guys in Van doing is what I want to know.
Yeah, no, I guess it comes down to system. And I guess that's probably going to be the biggest, you know, issue that Tocchet and his coaching staff are going to have. And I think that's why he, you know, wanted to make sure he had Sergei Gonchar with him and added Adam Foote, who, you know, obviously was a very good defensive defenseman when he played the game. So I do think that is behind the thinking that Tocchet had when he added those assistant coaches to the mix, because the personnel on their blue line, to me, on paper, isn't that bad. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I've watched Vancouver a lot because I haven't seen them enough to give a really, you know, in-depth analysis of their team. And I haven't done one of their games yet this year, in fact. But, you know, watching from afar and catching some games and obviously a lot of the highlights, they have more collapses than I've seen in a team in recent history where they've had leads and blown them and look lost. It looked like they're looking for excuses. Talk's going to eliminate those. I mean, obviously it didn't happen last night, but it's going to happen over time. And if anyone's tough enough to handle a city like Vancouver, it's Rick Tocchet. I mean, from playing with him, playing against him, there's not a whole lot that's going to rattle that guy. And the fact that he's had experiences playing with, you know, the superstars that he's played with and is good friends with to this day, and in some cases best friends with, like Gretz and Ed Mariel, there's a wealth of experience there, and there's a big reason why he has been so well liked from his teammates and people that have been associated with him. So I think it's eventually going to work out, but I know it's a mess there right now.
Yeah, it's a mess, and it got messy last night in Seattle. He is Keith Jones of the NHL on TNT. Always great catching up with you, Jonesy. Thank you for doing this.
Anytime, guys. Have a great show.
You
Take
too.
Care. Thank you.
Yep, there's Keith Jones again joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. All right, let's play some of this Rick Tocchet post-game last night. All right? He was asked about, because prior to the back-to-back, the night before, he said, I love a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Shows what we're all about. Like, it's right down the road. You're in Seattle.
Yeah,
it's the NHL. It's a back-to-back. Come on. I'm going to see what you're made of. And here's his assessment of how his team played last night.
I don't know if the anxiety caught up to some of the guys, you know, the emotions last week, but oof, that was bad tonight. That was bad. Yeah, soft. It was a, you know, you hate to call your team soft, but it was soft tonight.
Night two, it's soft. They're already soft.
It just gets to a point where I think it's the same in business, in life, and in sports. It's like can't get to point B to check. Can't do this. Can't do that. Sometimes it just means I don't want to. Sometimes can't means I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that just seems like with some of their players, whether it be defensemen, it's like can't get to the back check, can't get to the corner in time, can't get stick position in time. Sometimes it just means I don't want to. And they got enough of them that maybe they just don't want to do it. And Talk's going to figure them out. That they've already been figured out. I mean, if you can't figure what that mess is all about. But my point is, it's like you talk about systems, but sometimes can't means I don't want to. And you hear it enough from, I don't know, you ask somebody for help at a store, and I can't do that. You can't do that because you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's why.
A lot of it is effort-based. Like a lot of, you know, defensive play, battling for pucks.
Yeah, they
battling.
Don't want to do it. They
no,
don't want to do it.
Every if you watch, you know, and if you watch closely, and if you just track Canucks Twitter, people are posting clips. You're like, man, that's weak.
Well, it's...
Like, that is soft.
That comes down to habits, though. And this is where...
When Jamie, you watch and that, wanting to do them.
You're right, but ingrained habits are taught every day, and the coach drives them home. And, you know, we all love Bruce Boudreau, but that was a loosely structured team from day one. And I know people were mad at Rutherford at what he said. He didn't like the training camp, doesn't like the structure of the group. Like, that's a direct reflection on how these players are being told to play. And to me, it's shortcut, like you just said, didn't want to shortcut,
yeah.
You know, coulda, woulda, shoulda, didn't. And it reflects that the league is too good now. Like, the league is too good as far as coaching. You see teams get picked apart every night on certain plays. The other night, the Islanders got picked apart on the stretch play by the Leafs. Little floaters. They couldn't figure it out. And when they did, it was too late because the Leafs got a couple goals out of it. But it's the details, and the Canucks' habits are not there yet.
No, and it's perplexing to the point where game two, Rick Tocchet, after the game last night,
at a loss for words,
was asked a question. Basically, how do you explain that, Rick? Like, what's your read on this situation? And this is what he had to say.
It was hard for them to stay in good habits, you know, frustration. You know, I don't, like I said, the anxiety, but it you just, I don't know what to say. I really don't.
Yeah, there's no answer for how bad it could be. And
but
yet,
there's the comment again. It's hard for them. They don't want to be in good habits, or they would be doing good habits, and they just do what they want to do, and that's just what it is. So he's got to fix it.
With that said, I guess Andre Kuzmenko was committed to the plan because they gave him a two-year extension today. He is a good player, but this is where it doesn't matter what that front office does. People are going to hate it. In Vancouver, they're going to hate it because Kuzmenko got a two-year extension today, $5.5 million per. And the belief, like they even referenced it in the press release, like they worked hard to recruit him. They brought a lot of times these deals. We saw it with Mikheyev. We saw it with Zaitsev.
Right.
Russian players have come over. Specifically, I think Dan Milstein is the agent.
Yep.
Basically, we'll come over. It's a 1 year, but it's a wink, wink. You're going to give us the extension.
Right.
And he's earned it based on the way he's played. He's been one of their bright spots.
Yeah, he has been.
But it's a winger making 5.5 when that defense is a mess. And
it's another winger.
And it just what I can't wrap my head around. Again, good player. Is basically major surgery, but not that guy.
Right.
You know, not, well, come on. I mean, major surgery, but let's not get silly here. Like, at what point does Jim Rutherford or Patrick Alvin realize someone's got to go?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you keep spending
money on
forwards.
Look at the wingers. JT Miller's a winger, basically.
Garland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Garland, Mikheyev.
Garland, Mikheyev, Besser, JT Miller.
Yeah.
And now you got Kuzmenko. It's like... You're built goaltender through the middle of the ice, and these guys have zillions locked up in wingers.
The scary part, the names that you just mentioned, the team should be better.
Individually good players.
Dude, no kidding. And by the way, their centermen are Bo Horvat and Elias Pettersson.
I know.
On earth. That gets back to the same thing. Don't want to. Don't want to do it.
But you know what? It gives you a little bit of, you know, pause. You said it yesterday. Like, Travis Green's not a bad coach.
No, he's
not. Everyone thought he was a garbage coach there. Bring in Bruce, there it is. Now Bruce, there it is out too. And now they've got Tockett in there to try and clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, the players have to have some responsibility there. And go, hey, yeah, maybe it is us.
But if they're all getting contracts, why would they get that right?
Well, listen,
why would
Bo
they all?
Horvat is, they have to trade their captain here within the next
more than
six weeks.
Likely. Although
and
the way
Noodles,
they operate,
don't kid
they
yourself,
may not.
Noodles, you know this more than anybody. If you're not getting a save, there's no chance for anybody to look in. You could talk about what I just said about don't want to or systems or whatever. You got pucks going in the net like that, you got zero chance.
Yeah, I mean, it,
you said it's a goalie league.
If Demko was healthy, that does look different. And playing well, because he wasn't playing well at the start of the season.
No.
He's a really good goaltender. And, you know, God love Spencer Martin and Colin Delia, but...
Yeah, you got a number one out there, and you're paying him, and he's...
And he's
got
to
be the man.
Because he's injured.
Absolutely.
So...
We have some audio from an NBA coach, which I think is... Listening to this is infuriating, and this is the source of the issue. The coaches have been red-pilled when it comes to load management and, hey, can't do it. Well, you just said, not can't. You don't want to. We'll play it. We'll get into it. And we got a top three list coming out from the Maple Leaf side of things, and we're flipping a coin to see who's picking what game this weekend. And we got to establish some rules on what we're going to do Super Bowl week. Like, I think we picked a game. I think we picked the total. Do we add some props? You know, like, how crazy are we going to get? Because we're currently tied, Team Luke Bryan and Team Outdog. So the rules have got to be set out so there's no funny business after we pick a winner this Sunday and you guys pick a loser. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so there are some coaching maneuvers happening here, some hirings happening in the NFL. Frank Reich is back in action. He's the head coach down at Carolina. That was surprising. I mean, it was not a great run in Indianapolis.
No.
And then he ends up in Carolina. But and your boy Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator down with the Jets, not tied to the future of Aaron Rodgers.
100%.
Excuse me. If Rodgers is not a Jet, he is relieved of his duties immediately, and I'm telling you, that is real life.
Okay. Well, on that front, apparently Jeff Saturday, it's still absurd he was the coach. Guy has no coaching credentials, no history, and he took over the Colts for Frank Reich. Reich got fired, and in came Jeff Saturday. And I guess he's been through two waves of interviews already. And the reports are coming out of Indy that Jim Irsay, the toilet assassin himself, he wants Saturday. And there's a big pushback in the front office. They're like, we cannot have this guy run the show. To the point also where like they don't want him. Like, that's the reports are, like, the management, they're like, we cannot have Jeff Saturday is not the coach. He can't
be. Dude, you've seen it your whole life, Hayes. An owner in love with somebody like that is a serious problem, man.
It's
a serious one.
It's going to happen. And Colts fans, I think, are sniffing it out. I guess someone started a petition.
Wow.
Down on change.org. Don't hire Jeff Saturday as head coach.
Jeff Saturday is a smart guy. Why wouldn't he feel that kind of backlash and say, you know what? I'm just going to go back to ESPN and live my life again and be happy.
Listen, he's a football guy. I guess he wants to be in the trenches.
Dude, so am I. But you know what I like doing? I like talking to you guys and addressing the nation every day. That's what I like doing.
You address the nation?
Whatever we do.
We address
I don't need
the
to
nation.
We address the nation.
That is the most arrogant comment we've ever made on this show. We address the nation as if there's an emergency.
Omar,
we're going
and Michelle
to war.
Dubé, they address.
No,
the nation.
Prime Minister addresses them. Like, three morons on TSN do not address the nation.
Maybe that was aggressive.
That's a bit sharp. Like, anyway.
I guess Biden and Trudeau would address the nation.
Literally, the leaders of a country can address the country.
Anyway,
not
I like addressing the nation. Yes. I don't need to coach.
I agree with you. I don't know why you'd want that added stress either. It might be a bump in pay, but you're going in there. No one wants you there. The fans don't want you
there. That's a tough PR move.
It is, but you're right, O. Irsay, if he wants them, Guess who's getting the job? Ursay's getting that job, man. And he won't be pulling any funny business like he did with Josh McDaniels. He won't be going to the washroom for an hour and wasting people's time. If he wants Saturday, he's going to make it happen. All right, so last night, Denver played Milwaukee. And naturally, because the Nuggets had played the night before, a game they won on the road, I think they were in New Orleans the night before, you couldn't possibly play star players. You know, you couldn't possibly.
Load management.
Well, of course. I mean, it's a back-to-back with travel. So Mike Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets, was asked about that. The fact that Jokic, a two-time MVP, was supposed to play Giannis, a two-time MVP.
Right.
East versus West. It's only going to happen once in Milwaukee. And his explanation, from my standpoint, is absolutely infuriating. Listen to what the head coach of the Nuggets had to say about such a conundrum, the idea of the Nuggets having to play back-to-back.
This is a team, in the last 5 years, Milwaukee's won more games than anybody. We've won more games than anybody in the Western Conference. Giannis is a two-time MVP, Nicole's a two-time MVP. To have this game the second night of a back-to-back, not a national TV game, and a lot of our guys weren't able to play tonight, you know, you would hope that they would set this game up to be a little bit more of a marquee matchup. But again, that's easy for us to say. Whoever does that in the league office, whatever computer program they use, that's that is an unenviable task because no one's ever happy with it.
You made the decision not to play him.
Right.
Like, it's...
What is he saying, though? What is saying he... That is he saying there's just ridiculous that this is a back-to-back?
Yes.
And it's a throwaway game because it should be... You know, planned through the league and the TV schedule and all
right.
that. He's saying this should be a marquee matchup.
He's the saying, victim. He, like,
yeah.
That is infuriating. You made the choice not to play Jokic, or Jokic made the choice not to go up against Giannis.
And you made the decision to not make it a spotlight game.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Sometimes can't is you actually don't want to, like you just referenced. That's exactly what it was. Like, I heard two excuses or two explanations, which to me are absolutely ridiculous. This is the problem with the NBA. Coaches buy into it. Coaches want to see it happen.
Right.
Not, it's a back-to-back, and it's not a national TV game. So what do you want? We don't play back-to-backs if it's not on national TV. That is absurd
to
admit.
You know what?
That's why he didn't play last night.
They're on a collision course, and the coaches want it, and the players want it, and Steve Kerr has come out and asked for it. They want a 70-game season. And Silver's got to look at it and say, this is nonsense. It's bad for business. It's bad for the product, and we got to give it to them. I don't know how that's going to go over with owners, but they look like they're on a collision course to get 70 games instead of
I don't mind a 70-game season if you can.
Noodles, I don't either.
But you're not going to get a guarantee everyone's going to play anyway. Like, even if you go to 70, the players will say, all right, what's 80% of 70?
Yeah,
right? Like, I mean, they'll just keep doing the math and say, this is what's happening.
But,
I'm not
dude,
playing.
Come on. But you shave 12 games off a schedule. You think they're still going to be begging for load management?
Yes,
no
I do.
No way.
I do.
Here's where
you're
I would
wrong
go.
On that one.
If you go to 70 games, you could almost get a situation where you don't have back-to-backs. Like, that's where I would go.
Close to it. Like, there's still, again, the ignorance of this is there's management. There's
building
management.
Buildings,
exactly.
Availabilities,
it's like
all of that.
The Nuggets share a building with the Avs. And I know this was on the road and they were in Milwaukee. But that's what you're dealing with. You can't just create your own schedule and say, even if you play 70, you're right, there will be less.
Yeah.
There will still be back-to-backs.
Yes.
There have to be.
There might be three instead of eight or something like that. It's never going to be a perfect scenario. But I would rather... Now, the players, are they going to sign off on taking 20% less
absolutely
of a salary?
Absolutely not.
See, that's what
I don't see why they will.
Absolutely not. If you know what, if you're going to go to 70, for as far as hockey goes, go to the OHL schedule. 66, you can frame them more around the weekends. The travel's not a problem. There's not going to be back-to-back. Just get it over with.
Sure.
Do it.
I think you can build that up.
The OHL have back-to-backs every weekend.
Oh, they do. Sometimes you play Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
But
there's
obviously better means and stuff for not playing only on the weekends. But 66 game season, and it's all over with by April 1st or May 1st, and then it's done for the summer, and you fire up September 1st.
I'm with you.
They're leaning. I thought I heard... Was it LeBron or one of our insiders
saying more games?
They've talked about 84
games. Oh, the NHL's instead. Going the other way because the NHL is gate-driven. That's why. They have to make their money at the gate. They don't make the TV money the NBA does.
Correct.
The NBA makes a fortune with TV, so they can compensate for lost gate.
Okay, so I can see exactly what you're saying, and I don't disagree with it. But the coach is, he's not wrong saying, if you're a league, that should have probably been a marquee matchup. Should it have not?
Understandably, but it still could have been if the guy played.
You're right.
Like, it's this idea, like, what do you want, Jokic to play?
Yeah, you want him to play in this game?
Don't
yeah.
pretend like it's a big matchup that everyone wants. Like, the way he spoke, Malone's like, well, some of our guys just couldn't play. Why? Why? You chose not to play.
No, you're right.
Like, because it's a back-to-back with travel and it's not on national TV. Like, that's beneath us.
Yeah, no,
it's completely ridiculous. Like the idea of a coach saying that to me is so insulting to people in Milwaukee, to anyone with a brain. It's like, just be honest.
Yeah,
like, you know, don't blame the schedule or the team. You decided you're not playing them.
Not happening.
Yeah,
it's not happening.
Hey, what do you want? Our guys, we just, you know, they couldn't play.
I would like these leagues to go to 70 games because less games and spaced out a little bit more. We see what the
I agree.
We see what the product is. How many nights have we sat here on this show or been on our group text being like, this game's a dud, and it's a Monday night, and it's, you know, three games and four nights in three different cities. And
ideally, and like, I think, especially with contact sports, and listen, basketball, if you're a star and you're playing 40 minutes a night, you don't get breaks. You're moving.
You're moving.
It's like soccer. Like soccer, they basically play a couple times a week, and they've got a lot of depth. Sometimes guys will get nights off there. I think ideally NHL, NBA is you play one of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you play one of Saturday, Sunday,
right.
You know, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, basically right. twice a week. Perfect.
Right.
That'd be perfect, you know, and then over the course of 30 weeks, you play 60 games, you know, and there you go. There's your schedule. But we don't live in an ideal world.
No.
Right? There's money. There's TV commitments. There's tickets that need to be sold.
I get
it's just
it.
Not, it's
we
not going to happen.
We understand it. We're actually arguing for both sides of the coin. We know the economics, why they have to have this amount of games. But we're also saying, like, you want to take some money off the board, which nobody wants to do. You can have the product. You can have the 70-game season.
Oh, I think it would be ideal.
But
I think it would be ideal.
Don't want it.
But guys could actually play if they wanted to.
Yes.
But they also choose just not to. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, will join us into the next hour. Robert Turbin coming up, too. Former teammate of my boy, Luke Wilson.
Yes.
He's coming up in the next hour. Some NFL news.
Easy. I want you to Google something for me. We're going to break soon?
Yes. We're going to come back with our three-pack of Maple Leaf surprises.
Oh, okay. The next hour, we'll do my little segment.
I want to Google. We've got that in the next hour. Good little tease. We're Googling. We're addressing the nation.
Yes.
Overdrive.
I'm taking some heat for that.
That's a bold statement. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Let's count to three.
For real?
One, two, three.
One, two, three. Not only you and me.
All right. I like it. Here we go, little three-pack. We haven't done a three-pack in a long time. Never heard this song before, but it's very appropriate. Very appropriate. High levels of production. When you address the nation, you got to have a big budget.
Shout out Rick McIlroy. He has been dialed in.
Yes, he is. Rick McIlroy. There you go. Yeah. Shout out. All right, so we figured at this juncture, right, because there's been a lot of surprises that have popped up on the Leaf radar.
Yeah.
Whether it's players, team, coach, scheduling, certain games, certain matchups.
Right.
We do a little three-pack ourselves, right? End of January, we're coming up to the All-Star break. Oh, why don't you start us off? You could take us, 3-2-1, based on your surprises this season, positive, negative, what have you.
3-2-1, you want me to just flash the board and then I'll go through each individual?
Sure.
Yeah, you do whatever you want, man. You surprise us.
Yes.
Joe from the bridge, flash the board, please, and I will detail my comments.
You don't remember your list.
Yeah, do I have it right in front of me, you moron? Like, well, I'm addressing the nation and you're trying to embarrass me.
You're waiting for Joe to post the whole list
so you
can remember what your list was.
Dude,
obviously
this is television, you dumbass, and I text you the picks. Anyway, way
go
to
ahead.
Ruin a segment.
Yes, go ahead.
Ilya Samsonov, I had no idea what to expect from this guy. When you're bringing in goaltender like that a team just gave up on, like a young guy like that, I was like, I don't know how this is going to work. And then you pile on top of it, Matt Murray's already in the fold, scary situation. Gio,
I didn't know that Gio could kind of one last gasp and kind of bring the energy like he has this year. Real pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Billy Nye, the wrist shot guy, is a nice surprise. And I kind of thought that he might, he gives off the vibe that he might be satisfied. Like, if I get 25 or 30, I'm still kind of keep the flies off a little bit. But he looks like he wants to take his game to this, to the next level. Anybody that talks about William Nylander that's at practice all the time says this guy is on the ice and can't get off the ice and is always working on his stuff. But the next thing is doing it in the playoffs, and hopefully he can get there. So that is my list that I had written down as I addressed the nation.
Okay, yes, you're right. I mean, William Nylander leading the team in goals, I think it would be a surprise 4 months ago.
Yep.
Leading the team in points. Like, and Marner's played every game. Matthews has only missed two. Yeah, William Nylander has been a juggernaut for sure. I like it. Noodles, three-pack.
I have the list right in front of me, but Joe, you can put it up. Mm-hmm. Callie Yarncroke for me. Croak, Yarncroke, are we saying? Croak?
We're still surprised by the pronunciation.
Exactly. So, nice addition. I know he got acquired by Calgary at the end of the season, didn't score for them on their run. He's been a nice fit everywhere he's been placed. And to me, he's got, I think, underrated offensive skills.
Yes.
And a good shot and really a versatile player. So Yarncroke, for me, is on the list. You just mentioned it, and all you talked about, William Nylander. If you would have said to me that he would be ahead of Austin Matthews in goals, maybe if you're a couple weeks into the season, but we're close to 50 games into the season. So very impressive what he's been doing. And the other one, we love Morgan Riley, and he was injured for a long time, so he's still getting his game back. I think his game is starting to come. He's skating a lot better, distributing the puck. But if you would have told me that it was 40-plus games, he hadn't scored a goal yet.
He does not have a goal. That is a shocking stat.
It is.
It's like shocking
and
for an offensive.
And he's going to score, and I think it's just more important that he gets his game back and he feels good about it. But that was a shocking stat that was brought up several times in the broadcast last night.
He's taken a lot of heat, man, and it is deserved based on the way he's been playing recently. He's not been good enough. He's capable of more.
Yeah.
And I think you got to give him some time coming off the injury.
Exactly.
I think Liljegren has actually been a really sound replacement for Brody on that side for him. Like, and Liljegren's been really good, and I'll get to him in just a moment. But Morgan Riley, who did miss an extended period of time, but to have zero goals and not really have much of an offensive impact on this season when healthy – surprising, considering what we've seen throughout his career.
Yeah.
All right, I have a three-pack. Joe, we'll get to that board momentarily, but I'm going to begin with Austin Matthews because the other side of the William Nylander coin is the fact that Matthews is not in that spot.
Right.
Like, Matthews was an absolute rock star almost every game last season. Yes, he began the year a little bit slow, but at some point he got chugging and he did not stop. He went all the way towards a Hart, a Ted Lindsay, the Rockets. This year, for him to be second in goals and fourth in points, he's only missed two games.
Right.
That is very surprising. Like, this is a team that is built around a big four, but he's the king of the county. And he has been for a number of years. As great as Marner is and as much of an offensive producer as he is, Willie's doing what he's doing. Tavares is doing what he's doing. The old, if you had have told me, if I had predicted before the season, I thought close to 60 goals, 110 points again. Like, that's what I expected. And now I'm leaning towards 40 and like 90, you know, which is still a very
still
good
a very
year.
Good season, but he just has set the bar so high.
He set that's it so it high. He's and it is, when you look at McDavid, every year it's the same. Draisaitl, every year it's the same.
Right.
Matthews has taken a bit of a step back compared to what he's done. Certainly last year. Number two, I will go with Timothy Liljegren. I will admit I was not sure what this guy was going to turn into or if he was going to get to a point where he is a guy that you can really rely on. He's not an offensive juggernaut, and he never will be, but he's got some offensive skill, but he's kind of like a right shot TJ Brody in terms of his predictability.
Just steady.
He's very steady. You don't see a lot of fire drill shifts with him on the ice. You know, like, that's what's killing Riley these days, is you see him chasing pucks up the boards, and you can tell he doesn't have a plan, and it's a little bit, it's kind of dog park defense a little bit when Riley gets going. Liljegren really supplies, I think, a lot of stability. He's playing. He's in your top six, right. Like, for sure. Is he definitely in your top four. We'll find out come playoff time. And lastly, I got Samsonov as well, specifically at home. Like, you look at his stats at Scotiabank, better than any goalie in the league.
Yeah.
Like, his save percentage, his
goals against.
His goals against. He's 14-0-1.
Yeah, he hasn't lost in regulation.
He hasn't lost in regulation. So, yeah. I mean, the numbers he's putting up, considering when he came in, I think he was going to be the backup. Murray got the start opening night. He got run out of town in Washington. His numbers were really poor. Samsonov, he seems to be getting stronger.
Yeah, he said that as much in his media. Like,
yeah.
Said he's feeling good physically and mentally and thanked the team for the opportunity.
Yes, he did drop did he drop an F-bomb in the post game last night?
Might have. I just think
I think it might have been. But he's a character, well. Man, and he's playing really well, and I don't think they announced who's going to get the start tomorrow night. I think you got to get Murray in before the break.
Yeah, right? You do.
Murray's got to play one of these three games, right? But yeah. Samsonov is playing next Wednesday. I'd be shocked if he didn't play against Boston.
Yeah,
shocked if he didn't play against Boston.
That's the telltale. That's the one, right?
I think that's his game. He's got four starts in a row. He's won all of them. He's played well.
Do you think Murray will start tomorrow?
I would start Murray tomorrow. And then I would go Samsonov Sunday, Samsonov Wednesday.
Yeah,
see how it goes.
That's how I'd play it. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it plays out. Because you got to get Murray has not played poorly.
Not at all. He's like, you got to play.
You got to let him play. He deserves to get a shot. He deserves to get in there.
Yeah.
And I think that will happen. So there you go. Three pack of surprises.
Pretty good three pack addressing
that. And there's a lot of different ones that we could reference. You know,
yeah, these are just our storylines. We grabbed.
We got a lot of time to come up with more lists, and I got some things cooking for a week from now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yes. Churning out many bits, many creative ideas. All right, though, you've got a plan for the next hour, something we're going to Google, something we're going to get into.
Just the last couple minutes, or we could do it right off the top.
All right.
At 6 o'clock, I can bring it to you. Okay?
Perfect. Pierre LeBrun coming up. Robert Turbin, former NFLer, he'll join us as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.